The Rich Eisen Show.
Only those who wish to listen may do so.
That's a thinker.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
I don't know if you've heard, but Nyheim Hines does appear to be out for the year. He's on your brother's team. Is that a possibility for you, Dalvin?
Gotta be a sign, but it's not off the picture for me to go play that with him.
Okay.
Earlier on the show, Open Championship winner Brian Harmon. Coming up, host of Pro Football Talk, Mike Florio. TCU head coach Sonny Dykes, comedian Jim Gaffigan, and now it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show, live on the air here on Roku. We are live on the Roku channel, free on all Roku devices, select Samsung smart TVs. If you have Amazon Fire TV, we're on it for free. The Roku app has the Roku channel on it. It's free there, and it's the same when you go to straight to the internet. If you want to use the tubes and go to therokuchannel.com, we are free on it right there. Free on terrestrial radio, Sirius XM, and Odyssey is how you can listen to us every day. There's our YouTube page that picks up a lot of the slack, and then, of course, we re-air as soon as we're done in hour number three. Sonny Dykes, the head coach of TCU football, and then the very hilarious Jim Gaffigan in studio in hour number three. But we turn back to our phone lines, one of our favorites. Training camps open across the entire National Football League. And Saquon Barkley apparently going to be there on time because the Giants flipped him a little bit of face-saving dollars in the form of an incentive that he's got to have a career year to hit. Pro Football Talk's Mike Florio back here on the Rich Eisen Show. How are you, Mike?
Rich, doing great, buddy. How are you?
So this was done out of the goodness of the Giants' heart? Is that what this... Walk me through your reporting on this one-year deal for Saquon that's, I guess, it's franchise tag plus, right? Like, since everything's a plus these days, franchise tag plus.
My understanding, Rich, was that on the Saturday night Zoom call with the top running backs, and you had Dalvin Cook on yesterday talking about what went down, The sense that was emanating during that conversation was that Saquon Barkley had resigned himself to the fact that he just needed to show up. The system is bad. Some point in time, you got to make a good decision based on a bad system and a bad situation. Now, Josh Jacobs, not inclined to show up anytime soon. Barkley, folks got the impression, was going to come in. And so anything he gets above the $10.1 million is a bonus if he was going to take the $10.1 million. I would have liked to think he could have gotten more than a $900,000 incentive package that requires 1,350 rushing yards, 65 catches, 11 touchdowns, and a playoff appearance to hit all four triggers and get the full money. Or at least get, you know, if I do all those things, I promise you won't tag me next year. But at least it's something over and above the 10.1 that he was due to make. And he's the first one in my recollection that was franchise tagged that actually got more money on that long-term deal after the after the deadline for a long-term deal passed. A couple of guys in the past, Lance Briggs and Albert Haynesworth, got a promise that if they hit certain triggers, they wouldn't be tagged the next year. Barkley's the first one to potentially get more money, but he's going to have to do a lot to get more money.
So, What did happen? Why didn't the Giants and Saquon, best to your knowledge, get together for a long-term deal? What was the holdup?
What happened was back in the early part of the offseason, when the Giants had one franchise tag to use and two players on whom they were inclined to consider using it, Saquon Barkley and quarterback Daniel Jones, they tried to get Barkley signed to a long-term deal, and then they would have tagged Jones. When Barkley rejected the pre-tag offer, they pivoted to Jones and got a deal done with him and then tagged Saquon Barkley. Now, ideally, and I'm going to digress here for a second, but it just demonstrates one of the strategies that could be employed by running backs and other players in a situation like this. If they could get their agents to work together, what Jones and Barkley should have done was locked arms, Red Rover style, and said, we're not taking any long-term deal, neither of us. You're going to tag one of us, and the other one's hitting the market. But they didn't do that, and the Giants played one over the other, tried to sign Barkley and tag Jones, didn't work, tagged Barkley, signed Jones, and then pulled the offer that they had on the table for Barkley before they tagged him. And then I think a lot of the weeks and months after that were spent trying to get the Giants to put the offer back on the table that they had yanked before they tagged him.
And then what happened at the, you know, midnight hour, the 12:01 on the day of the deadline from a couple Mondays ago?
Couldn't get it done. bottom line, once the Giants pulled that offer that was on the table pre-tag, and my understanding is they made it clear, here's what's going to happen. Here's what we're going to do. We don't want to have to tag you. We want to sign you to a long-term deal, and we want to tag Daniel Jones. When he forced them to go forward with the tag, that threw everything off kilter. There was an offer made during the offseason program that I believe was less than what was made pre-tag, and there was just this effort, I believe, based on everything I've heard, by Barkley and his representatives, and he had CAA involved kind of late in the process, and the CAA agent who was working with the Roc Nation agent wanted to reshuffle the deck and start over, and the Giants were like, no, 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 we already have a negotiation that's been going on here. We're not going to go back to square one just because there's a new agent involved. So it was a lot of factors and moving parts, and they just couldn't get the deal done. And, you know, what I had heard was the Giants were ready to pay $13 million a year and $26 million fully guaranteed over the first 2 years back pre-tag, and that's not an unreasonable offer. That's fair for what Barkley's done. I heard he wanted $16 a year. That's not unreasonable either. And I'd like to think that that's enough of a gap. It's small enough that they could have worked something out. So ultimately, end of the day, they didn't get it done. And now, you know, the Giants have Barkley under contract for a year, and they still have the ability to tag him next year if they want to keep him around at a 20% raise over whatever he ends up making this year.
The thing I just don't understand, Mike, is just the fact that, okay, so they're saving $9 million over the span of 3 years. And they get to hold the line on the franchise tag and also hold the line for running backs for the rest of the 31 teams in the NFL. And that is more important than paying your guy what he wants. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like, I understand that things are done in the NFL because they can be done. But if it really is just down to he wanted 16, they wanted to pay him 13, and they wouldn't meet at 14 and a half. And so they'll stick him with 10. And incentives to get up to 11, that's $3 million more bucks in the pocket for what? A linebacker that they might need? You know what I mean? That's what I'm trying to wrap my arms around it, Mike. I just can't. Well, it's tough.
And the only way to wrap your arms around it is to accept the fact that football is very heavily driven by analytics and this entire depression of the market for running backs. I asked somebody last week, what's going on here? Why are we at this juncture in the existence of the NFL? And the response was, blame analytics. And blame Mike Shanahan. Because you go back to 1999, Terrell Davis tears an ACL, Orlandis Gary comes in and has 1,100 plus yards over the balance of 1999. The next year, Mike Anderson has over 1,400 yards. That system where you plug anyone in and you can gain a lot of yards. Sean Payton started using a full complement of running backs. When they used the second overall pick on Reggie Bush, he didn't supplant Deuce McAllister. They split the touches, and then Pierre Thomas got sprinkled in once he arrived on the scene and showed he could get it done. And he was a guy who was either drafted very low or not at all. So that's the fundamental problem, and I think the teams are adhering to their very cold, objective, dispassionate assessment of what running backs can do, what other cheaper, younger running backs will do. And, you know, we've heard for years the NFL is what have you done for me lately. I think especially with running backs, but also the rest of the league, but particularly with running backs, it's not what have you done for me lately. It's what are you doing for me right now, and what do I think you're going to do for me tomorrow? And that's why the running backs are getting screwed here, and that's why the Giants weren't willing to say, well, this guy's put in five solid years. He's played through injury. He came back and had a great season. They have the rights under the franchise tag to squat on him at 10-1. And they did it, and they weren't willing to trade that in because they'll pay him 10-1 this year, and if they choose to tag him next year, they'll pay a 20% raise, and by that point, they're probably ready to move on to somebody else.
The crazy thing is, Mike, is that for whoever told you, you know, blame Mike Shanahan, the individual running the more modern version of that offense right now, his son Kyle, employs the running back that makes the most. So
that's right. No, that's right.
They're
and
the
Shanahan's
one.
Had a different leading rusher every year. In each of the 7 years he's been the head coach of the 49ers. But they recognize there's something different about Christian McCaffrey. McCaffrey's got the rushing and the receiving. He's an offensive weapon. That's how he got his contract after 3 years with the Panthers. They knew what they were getting themselves into when they drafted him, and he paid off. They knew they were going to have to pay him after 3 years. And, Rich, that is the key. There are big-picture solutions, or maybe no big-picture solutions at all for running backs, but there's the individual player-by-player solution. And if you're a great player and you have a great third season, because that's when the window opens on negotiations for a long-term deal, you get that deal after 3 years, and you do whatever you have to do to get that deal. You hold out if you have to hold out. You agitate behind the scenes as much as you can. You get that deal after 3 years. Otherwise, you're in the Saquon Barkley, Josh Jacobs, DeMarco Murray. Go back to 2014. Mm-hmm. DeMarco Murray set the Cowboys franchise single-season rushing record, and they just said, thank you, see you later, and they signed Darren McFadden for a hell of a lot less, and he had a bigger year than Murray had in 2015.
So that's why I said, and then we'll turn to other stories as training camps are all 32 teams open, that Derrick Henry's the one that can kind of change a little bit of a dynamic here. And he's going to turn 30 in January, and if he has a Derrick Henry-like year for a Titans team that few people thought could win the division, and he helps take them to a playoff game, then I understand he's still a unicorn in a way, but he can sort of prove 30 is just a number, and the numbers that really matter are the ones that he's putting up, and see who wants him if the Titans decide to put him out to pasture just because he's 30. You know, I'm just wondering.
Hey, Rich, you've caused me to think of something here. Okay. I have an idea.
Let's do it. What do you got?
And I don't know if the Titans have reported yet. It's impossible to keep up with what's going on. You know, you go from that slow period where you have to actually go looking for news to it's falling out of the trees and you have to wade through it. But if the Titans haven't reported yet, would this be an opportunity for Derrick Henry to hold out and say, look, you need me this year. You're going through transition at quarterback. You're breaking in DeAndre Hopkins. And you're paying DeAndre Hopkins more on a base salary than I'm going to make this year, and I'm the guy that's been the straw that has stirred this drink the last 5 years. This may be the time for him to draw a line in the sand. Even though, usually, like I said, you do it after your third year, when you're getting toward the end of your second contract, maybe now is the time to do it to get some more security. Remember, there was that talk earlier in the offseason about a possible trade. I think that possibility of the Henry trade flowed from, I want a new contract. Okay, we'll see if anybody wants to trade for you, just to demonstrate to him, like the Chargers demonstrated to Austin Eckler, no one's going to pay you what you're looking for and give us what we would want, so we just better make this work this year. I would not be shocked. I mean, nothing shocked me in the NFL anymore, but, you know, what if he just wouldn't show up? That would definitely change the dynamic for the Titans as the season approaches.
Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk here on the Rich Eisen Show. 49ers quarterback competition. What's your sense of it now that this is finally going to get underway after months of us talking about it? What do you have for me there?
I think as long as Brock Purdy's healthy, he's going to be the guy week one. But I also believe if there's any hitch in Purdy's recovery from that shoulder surgery, it's Sam Darnold. They've been working hard to get people to understand that even though Trey Lance was the third overall pick and they ultimately invested 3 first-round picks and a third-round pick to get him, Darnold is the guy above Lance on the depth chart, and Lance is the guy they're just keeping around as the emergency option because last year they had to use their emergency option. So I think that's how it goes. Purdy if healthy, then Darnold, then Lance, and they keep all three because they may have to use all three.
So Lance would be third on the depth chart, huh? Wow. That's crazy. And I guess that would be the in case of emergency quarterback for anybody that has a, heaven forbid, a Teddy Bridgewater type injury over the next 2-3 weeks, right? I mean, I just don't see how, because everyone thinks that Lance has got a huge upside. All he's got to do is get reps and some time, and third on the depth chart. That would be wild, man. I don't know.
Well, and you raise an interesting point. If somebody does have that freak quarterback injury, and look, quarterback injuries typically don't happen
right
in training camp and preseason because they don't get touched in training camp, and in the preseason, they rarely actually play. The starters rarely play anymore. And people think that Teddy Bridgewater's knee injury happened in the preseason game against the Chargers just a few days earlier, and then it just gave out during that practice. But if you would have that happen and somebody shows up offering a 1-4 like the Vikings offered to get Sam Bradford 7 years ago, then that's when the 49ers would get somebody else ready to be their third quarterback. But until they get that kind of an offer, they're going to keep him around because, look, they had to use their third quarterback last year, and their third quarterback ended up playing well. And maybe those are the circumstances where Lance would finally play well. Kid's under a ton of pressure, everything they gave up to get him, all the expectations, the whole Jimmy Garoppolo back and forth, and are they going to use him as a rookie? They didn't use him much as a rookie. He plays last year, he breaks his ankle. Maybe the best way for him to finally prove himself is if he just gets thrust into service because the two guys in front of him get injured. And the way it's gone for the 49ers, I don't know what they did to piss off the football guards, but they just can't keep their quarterbacks healthy.
So, as you mentioned, Mike, I had Dalvin Cook on yesterday. What do you think his market is? And I imagine he'll be the first to sign. There's Zeke, Fournette, Kareem Hunt. There's a ton of guys with a lot of production history that are just sitting around waiting to find out where the pieces land for running backs.
I thought it was funny that he was so candid with you about why he's not in Minnesota, but when the time came to talk about what he wants to do next, he was very evasive, very vague, very non-committal. He's waiting. And, hey, Rich, we talked about quarterbacks don't get injured very often in training camp in the preseason. Guess who does?
Running backs. Yeah.
So the dynamic could change dramatically. And I've been doing this for 25 years now. This is the time of year where you just kind of wait every single day. Where's that lightning bolt going to come from where a guy tears an ACL? Yesterday, C.J. Gardner-Johnson. And before that, Nyheim Hines gets hit by a jet ski, for crying out loud. You never know when a guy's going to get injured that may create an opportunity for Dalvin Cook that wasn't already there, that maybe creates money for him and he goes to that team, or it puts more pressure on one of the teams talking to him and they increase their offer. So I think that he realizes time is on his side to a certain extent. At some point, you got to get ready for the season, but early in camp, you stay home, you watch and you wait, and you see whether or not an opportunity pops up. And hey, I've been saying this for months now. Would the Raiders at some point rescind the franchise tender from Josh Jacobs and just pay Dalvin Cook $6-7 million? I don't know that is a dramatic difference, and it may be dollar for dollar a much better deal for the Raiders than Jacobs upset and disgruntled showing up to play this year and taking his 10-1.
That would be something else, man. But it is, that is in the realm of possibility. I mean, other than just having to teach somebody the terminology or the way of the McDaniels, right? That might be an apples to apples, since that's what we're always talking about with this league at the running back spot right now. Apples to apples.
Yeah, you plug them in, you trust them in pass protection if you can, and
right.
You let them go do their thing. But between the tackles, runner is what he's been, and he can help you out in space, and he could be a potent weapon. It's amazing to me, because when he was explaining to you yesterday, he just wants to play for a team where you know he can help them win games. Four of the Vikings' wins last year directly flowed from plays he made. That's what's astounding to me, that the Vikings are pivoting so dramatically away from the run game that they don't value a player like that. But I still think that it was a mistake for them to let him go. But again, if you're going to throw the ball all over the place and you need money for Justin Jefferson and you're trying to figure out your quarterback situation long term, that $10 million on Dalvin Cook is maybe a luxury you can't afford.
Last one for you, Mike, and this may not be fair because I'm thinking of it watching Mike McCarthy talk right now as the Cowboys are opening up their training camp up the road from us here in Southern California. Who's coaching for their gigs this year, do you think? Hot seat talk here at the end of July. What do you got for me on that front? And you feel free to push back to say McCarthy's not, that Jerry is just a guy who's not going to change horses there regardless. What do you got for me?
You never know what Jerry's going to do, because he completely, totally, and unequivocally supports his coach until the moment he no longer does. This year, there's no excuses for McCarthy. He's running the offense, so it had better work. And 12-5 is great, but when you make fairly quick exits from the postseason, you haven't been back to the NFC Championship game since 1995, that puts more pressure on everyone. So I think he does need to have at least a playoff year to be safe. If they fail to make the playoffs this year, I think he could be in real trouble. Brandon Staley, the Chargers, has to be, at this point, with Justin Herbert and the way that they ended the 2022 season with that epic collapse against the Jacksonville Jaguars, Staley has to be under pressure this year. New offensive coordinator Kellen Moore, fired by the Cowboys, lands with the Chargers, has to get more out of Justin Herbert, one of the great quarterbacks in the NFL. And, you know, I know my buddy Tom Curran was on with you last week talking about Bill Belichick. I think Robert Kraft put everyone on notice, including Bill Belichick, and starting with him, that they need to do something this year, or it could be over. When he was asked at the league meetings in Arizona, and I'm paraphrasing here, but the question was along the lines of, does Bill Belichick stay until he passes Don Shula on the all-time wins list, or does he need to get to the playoffs this year? And And Kraft didn't say, oh, he's here as long as he wants, or, oh, hey, you know, we're supporting Belichick no matter what, and he's got 6 Super Bowl wins, and are you crazy? No, he gave an answer that when you look at it, it's like, he could be in trouble if they don't turn this thing around. And I think what happened last year with the offense with Matt Patricia and Joe Judge, that leaves a mark on Bill Belichick's permanent record, and Robert Kraft is very well aware of it. And I think what happens this year, depending upon how bad it gets, and on paper they're the worst team in the division, if they miss the playoffs and they have a rough year, there could be a change in New England come 2024.
That would be something else. I still would have to see that to believe it. Again, I totally get the Joe Judge and Patricia thing last year and how it might have cost a year of Mac Jones's development based on the viewpoint of ownership sitting in the suite at the 50-yard line. That I can understand that, but man, that is I know they love Gerard, you know, Gerard Mayo, but that's a long cliff. That next step's a Lulu if you let Belichick go. I mean, I'm serious.
There's some people out there that throw out the possibility of the Patriots trying to bring Mike Vrabel home post Belichick, which would be fascinating if they would try to make that move. And you know they wouldn't fire Belichick. It would be a mutual parting, and everyone is hand in hand, and all these great, you know, they wouldn't just throw him out the door, and he wouldn't put his resignation on a cocktail napkin. It would be something that looks mutual, but still, if it would happen, you're right. And Rich, every owner that's thinking about firing a coach has to ask that question. The easy part is getting rid of the guy I have. The hard part is finding a guy who's as good or better.
Mike Florio, always appreciate it. Thanks for being so giving of your time, as always, here on the show. Let me know whatever I can do to reciprocate at any point during this upcoming football season, and look for more of my texts and calls throughout the training camp season. Greatly appreciate it.
Always happy to be with you, Rich.
Thanks very much. That is Mike Florio, PFT Live on Peacock, which you can see right here on Roku, right here on The Rich Eisen Show. I saw some USA Today prognostications of some records. Did you see that today?
I did not.
I want to hit on that a little bit before I give you my top 5 storylines of the training camp season.
Oh, baby.
Don't go anywhere. And the 844-204-RICH number to dial right here on The Rich Eisen Show.
Are you currently enjoying the show on the Stitcher app? Then you need to know Stitcher is going away on August 29th. Yep, going away, as in kaput, gone, dead. Rest in peace, Stitcher, and thanks for 15 years of service to the podcast community. So switch to another podcast app and follow this show there. Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen.
The Rich Eisen Show Radio Network is back on the air with our live stream on the Roku channel. I'm sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger is the right product for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Josh McDaniels, the head coach of the Las Vegas Raiders, who is another team right at the forefront of what's going on with the running back group. Saquon Barkley signing a 1-year deal with the Giants today that affords him an opportunity to make about $1 million more if he hits 3 very lofty incentives, but reachable, I guess, because he is Saquon Barkley. But the question is, will the Raiders offer that to Jacobs to get him in? What's going on with the leading rusher in the National Football League? Well, McDaniels spoke today and was asked about the Zoom that Jacobs was apparently on with the rest of the running back group that Dalvin Cook spoke about yesterday, thanks to a text chain created by Derrick Henry. What, the RBs is what he said the name of the text
the
chain
RBs.
Group was?
Yep.
This was the head coach of the Raiders on his star running back being the star of this Zoom.
Well, obviously I can't speak for anything that happened in the meeting. I wasn't privy to any of that. But look, I respect every player's right to try to do what's best for them. That's why, you know, the league is what it is in terms of value and contracts. And, you know, those things are personal. We all have to go through them. I understand it. I've said it, you know, multiple times this spring. I respect him tremendously. Have a great deal of respect for him as a player, as a person, what he did for our team last year. And you know, I look forward to seeing him, you know, whenever he is here. And I respect that process too. You know, it's his decision to make, and you know, I know they all have to do what they think is best for them. You know, and that's like I said, we all have to do those things in our lives, and I have a great deal of respect for him.
Well, that's making nice, which he possibly is doing behind the scenes anyway. You have to assume that. But the reason why, for some Raiders fans, I'd imagine, and Jacobs fans in particular, it doesn't ring true is, I guess he needed to lead the league in rushing for the coach to believe in him, because it certainly seemed like they didn't when they first showed up there and didn't lock him up for a fifth year, which is why he was free to walk and needed to be franchise tag. So it's kind of tough to say, you know, we believe in him when they're in this predicament because they didn't pick up a fifth-year option on him, which might be part of the things that are playing behind the scenes here on this front.
So we'll see. Seems like he's going to, like, be the one to
hold out,
take a stand.
I mean, the holding out, though, is you're not there.
And it doesn't help you, right?
This is a guy who is apparently sitting in the front of his car with Max Crosby.
Who's waiting to go,
ready to get the phone call to say it's done, going to work. And he's ready to go. Like, that's the mentality. It's not like he's stewing at home, livid, saying, you know, even if I do get this deal, I'm going to take my sweet-ass time or whatever, bitter. He was champing at the bit. Like, let's go. So, to me, that doesn't sound like somebody's going to hold out. He wants to play ball. But he also wants the team to figuratively play that with him. Although, you know, you read stuff. All the information folks that have come on the show said it wasn't as contentious as it sounded.
No.
I just don't know if he's going to hold out. The good news, though, is that Jimmy Garoppolo's foot injury that caused a press conference back in the day to get pushed because the Raiders were kind of learning or a little bit skittish and wanted new language, put in a contract for a free agency signing for Garoppolo. That foot injury that required surgery, no restrictions, McDaniel says on it.
Let's go.
No restrictions. And Jimmy G is the guy who we all know McDaniels had in his midst back in the day in New England and looked terrific when he came in for Brady. Remember that?
Yes, he did.
And so this is what the Raiders want out of the quarterback spot, more than what Derek Carr was willing able to provide them. Okay, I shouldn't say willing. So that's good news. They say they're going to, you know, treat him like any player coming off of an injury or surgery, but they say no limitations. And if that's the case, we will see this year how much more improved and efficient this offense is, that potentially all they got to do is just not blow the double-digit leads that they build to start these games. That was the difference between them making a run for the playoffs last year and being the most disappointing team of 2022.
Losing Waller's going to hurt, though, right? It has to.
One would think.
That's a big, I mean, he didn't have one a great think, season
but
last
he definitely, because look, there's a, it just appears to be the McDaniels way of doing things. He wants it a certain way. He brought in his system, and it looked to me as if Waller didn't fit it. I don't know. I'm one of the many Darren Waller fantasy folks that was waiting for him to just stay healthy and hit for touchdowns and just didn't. He had a big night in Pittsburgh. He had one big catch in Pittsburgh that night. I called the game. It was wound up being Derek Carr's last. But it's the difference between them making a push for, one would think, Kansas City atop the division or not. Because they're a really talented team if they hold on with a friggin' lead. How about USA Today? Did you see the predictions that they had?
No, you were bringing it up before.
The single, yeah. they every year they come up, and just so folks like us can talk about it and get upset about it. But I'll tell you what, just speaking as somebody who got bit by this last year, and I thought, like, this is going to be the year that the Chiefs don't do it, right? They switched their predictions. I saw it earlier today. They had the Chiefs at 10-7. Now they got them at 11-6. I don't know if they got so much pushback on that. But I don't. How did the Chiefs lose 6 games this year? I will counsel USA Today. Don't be like me.
Not using the Raiders.
Please. Do you have the Chiefs schedule? You show me the 6 losses.
Let's see.
I don't know how they come up with these predictions. I mean, they have the Bills having the best record in the AFC. They have the Bills winning the 1 seed at 13-4. But they also have the Steelers and Ravens at 11-6. The Chiefs are going to go 11-6?
Let's see here.
They also have the Raiders going 3-14. I mean, they're not that bad.
They don't
Good
know.
God.
I mean, you see what they got the Cowboys going?
But come on, man. Where are the 6 losses on the screen? Is it home against Detroit to start, at Jacksonville week 2? Home for Chicago, at the Jets, at Minnesota, home for Denver, home for the Chargers. You know, Mahomes is never loses in the division. At Denver, home for Miami, then they're home for Philly, at Vegas, at Green Bay, home for Buffalo, at New England, home for Vegas, home for Cincinnati, at the Chargers.
3-4 tops.
Come on, 6. They're going to lose 6 football games this year. Patrick Mahomes will lose 6 football games this year.
Let's see.
I mean, get out of here. I will push back. I'm on the Chiefs. I'm part of Chiefs Kingdom now.
Well, you learned your lesson.
I sure did.
Let's see. The Chiefs.
What are you smoking, bro? Give me some.
Whoever came up with that 6.
Honestly. 3 losses last year. 21.
Look, the Steelers and the Chiefs have the same record. The Ravens and the Chiefs will have the same record. I will take that. They have the Jets 12-5. Oh, I can't even look at it. Yeah, they have the Ravens, Jets, and Dolphins being your wild card teams. They got your Cowboys being 9-8.
I immediately just clicked the screen off when I saw that. 9-8. Come on, that's disrespectful.
Rams 7-10.
He doesn't know what he's talking about.
Rams and the Packers at 7-10. I will take the over on that. Worst record they have is the Cardinals at 2-15. That one I'm not going to push back on.
They got Tampa Bay. Do you mention that?
5-12. Look, somebody's going to have to, you know, be a 4 or 5 win team. I mean, it happens every year.
True, but.
But the Bucs, we just, you know, we spoke to Godwin the other day.
They're ready, man.
They have dudes who won the championship 3 years ago, still on that team. And I know last year did not look good. I get it. Don't sleep on them at all.
I think that's just probably a reflection of they're not sold on Baker. So it's
the AFC North. They have the Browns in last place at 10-7. Okay. 10-7, a game behind the Steelers and the Ravens, and the Bengals with 12-5. So they have the Bills being the 1 seed advancing, and then the Bengals being the 2 seed against the 7th seeded, Dolphins. And then they've got the 3 seeded Chiefs taking on the 5th seeded Ravens, 6th seeded Ravens. And then it would be Jaguars, Jets.
5-4.
Jets at Jaguars.
And they have you win.
Trevor Lawrence versus Aaron Rodgers. And then in the NFC, they've got the Eagles with the bye. Then either the Niners at the 2 seed or the Lions as the 2 seed, right? Because they have them both at 11-6. Let's just say the Niners against the either 7th seeded Falcons or Cowboys. They're both 9-8. And then the Lions would be the 3 seed against either the Falcons and the Cowboys. And then the Saints would win the NFC South, taking on the Seahawks. as Kenneth Walker III goes on his own quake, although that would be in New Orleans.
I mean, you did get to the Super Bowl prediction, though, right?
Which is?
Oh, you didn't? You didn't get that far?
No. I'm just looking at their record.
I'm going to let you continue.
I don't have it. Oh. You can go for it. I don't have it. I just have their... Yeah.
The AFC Championship... Well, let's start this. The NFC Championship game.
Yes.
They have the top-seeded Eagles defeating the Lions. In the AFC Championship game, they have the number two Bengals.
Yeah. Beating the Jets?
Losing...
To the
number five New York Jets.
Okay.
And that's their Super Bowl 58 prediction at USA Today. Eagles, Jets. They have the Eagles downing the Jets to win the Super Bowl. You would take that, though. You would sign up for that.
He's not even thinking
about it. You're starting to hyperventilate that thing.
Your face is perfect.
Mike, is he sweating?
No, it's like his face. Your face is perfect, Rich. It says it all. Oh, my God.
I just want to, USA Today is putting a lot in the Jets basket. As you know, I am leaning on Aaron Rodgers to help me handle success. I don't know how to handle hearing that. And I told you.
You did.
When we came back from the Super Bowl last year, when I saw, you know, Chiefs and Eagles painted in the end zones, I would not know what to do stepping inside a stadium for the Super Bowl and seeing Jets painted in an end zone. Wouldn't know how to handle it. But the Jets have set up to do that.
Yeah.
Nate Davis from USA Today.
Jets have set up to do it.
Believes in your crew, Rich.
Okay. I just would push back on that prediction by saying the initial 10-7 record for the Chiefs, 11-6. Come on. 11-6. That means they think the Jets might beat the Chiefs.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's see it. Oof. Oh, my God. The first month of the season is going to be it's going to either make me or break me.
They are messing with Rich's emotions right now.
All right. We'll take a break here on the Rich Eisen Show. Here's what we're going to do. I've got my top five list that I was going to do now. That's coming up next. I also have a chat with Sonny Dykes of TCU to kick off hour three. Also, a conversation with Jim Gaffigan in studio in hour number three. And we'll finish up with a Bill Belichick press conference moment of the day. First of the 2023 training camp season.
First of many.
I wouldn't miss it. I'd just stay right where you are, like TJ will tonight when he goes home. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. Before we get to my top five storylines of NFL training camp, the highest paid player in the history of the National Basketball Association, the richest contract in the history of the National Basketball Association has just been handed out, and it belongs to Jaylen Brown.
How about that?
$304 million. The super max contract.
Super.
You know who's in line for one too? Jason Tatum. See you later.
So
this is only going to be number one for a while until Jason Tatum gets his.
I think
5-year, $304 million super max contract, fully guaranteed with a trade kicker, no player option.
Fully
according guaranteed to Shams. Wow.
You thinking Saquon is thinking right now, maybe he picked up the wrong sport, the wrong ball to play with?
He's that dude, though. Jaylen Brown is really, really good at the basketball. He has turnover issues every now and then.
Which, you know, to get Brockman a voice since he's not here, that would be right now what he would be going off about.
Right. The fact of correct.
Turns the ball over.
I understand that. But he is off the court, just like, you know, dream come true type material.
Yeah.
And good for the Celtics. You know, Brockman's not here, so I'm going to go for it. Ready for this?
Hit it.
They're like my Jets. They're putting all their eggs in this basket right now. Just without the 38, 39-year-old that they hope.
Well, you know.
No, they're putting it all. That's it. That's it right now. They go, let's go get Porzingis. Let's pay Jaylen Brown. He's not going anywhere. Okay. Jaylen Brown, his contract will be tops on this list again until Jason Tatum gets his. So this is it. This is the Celtics world now.
No,
they are the team to beat in the Eastern Conference.
Now,
that simple.
I forgot to ask you, maybe
it.
I did. I don't remember your answer.
Yeah.
Do you feel the Celtics now are better losing Marcus Smart and bringing Porzingis in?
I think Porzingis is a huge difference maker. Huge difference maker. Shot blocker. Him and Time Lord. Good luck trying to score down low.
But there's something to be said about the heart and soul of your team.
Like, I got it. I understand
your,
that.
Your dog, your defensive player of the year.
I understand.
Type. I mean,
I understand. I understand. I think they're better. You don't think they're better? You don't think they're better?
This is a Sixer fan of me hoping.
Well, the thing you got to be concerned about is where was James Harden at Embiid's wedding? That's the thing.
I don't
you got to worry about that.
Look,
what's going on with Harden? Celtics are like sitting back, like Red Auerbach, smoking a cigar. We've made our guy, you know, what the market bears. You could sit here and say, and again, it would be great if Chris was here, but
right now we stink.
You know, you basically, you know, hey, that's what the market says you should do. You got to pay your guy that Supermax, and you know, it's about a quarter it's $25 million above what Jokic is making. So
wow.
Jaylen Brown is number one.
Number in the history of the league.
Of the league. And
we
the current
sink.
Situation.
It's over.
And I know where Harden was. He was at a club with PJ Tucker during Embiid's wedding, eating Bun B's Trill Burgers. So, you know, that's where Harden was. And I think he's talking about becoming uncomfortable. I don't want to go down this Sixer path because we got time for that. But, man,
No, we could do it. You know what? I'll just push my top five till tomorrow. We got a whole show to make. Go ahead. I'm serious.
I apologize
for anybody who wants to sit on it.
I want your top five.
No, go ahead. No, seriously.
I don't want to even get into them.
Why?
Because I don't really know what's going on with them. Like
they don't have anything. Here's the thing is they don't have to have anything going on right now. Same thing with Lillard. And the Blazers, they don't have to have anything going on right now in late July. Like, what's the deal? Like, the training camps don't open for a while. What do you care? Like, let it play out.
That's true.
That's it. They don't have to do anything. Your Sixers don't have to do anything with Harden right now. The only thing that happened this past week that has anything to do with Harden is the fact that Embiid didn't have him at his wedding.
I mean, you know.
I don't know.
The wife usually gets
it. It could be that Harden has the same approach to destination weddings as Larry David.
See, we don't know.
Yeah.
Could be that.
Doesn't want to travel to
he
the
wedding. Doesn't want to go.
Could be that.
Yep.
Could be beyond an hour and a half drive by car for James Harden. He's not going.
Nope.
Or they just can't stand each other and they're not going to play with each other anymore.
Man,
and at some point.
That's what I'm hoping.
I know. So, you know, and the same thing. Lillard and the Blazers don't have to do a damn thing yet. And then when training camps open,
that's when you see what goes.
We'll see what the rubber meets the road. It's going to be like Lillard might sit there and have to be like Rodgers. By the way, he could just zoom into this show like Rodgers zoomed into McAfee and say, my intention is to play for the Miami Heat this year and see how that works. Worked out for Rodgers going to the Jets.
True. Worked out great for our socials if we got Dame.
Let's go. We're happy to do that.
Of course.
Come on out. Come on. Zoom into the program.
This is a safe space.
This coming September, you know. We're going to have Zooms. Oh, it's coming.
Oh, it's coming?
Oh, yeah. Let's take Jimmy in San Antonio's call right here on the Rich Eisen Show. How are you doing, Jimmy?
Hey,
Jimmy.
Hola, hermanos.
Jimmy.
What's up?
Hola. Hola.
Hey, I'm polishing off some 1800 Reposado. Yesterday was National Tequila Day.
Okay. Right, isn't every day National Tequila Day for you, though, Jimmy?
Yeah, we call it mouthwash.
That's why we love you.
I love you, Jimmy.
That's why we love you.
You make me laugh, man. What's on your mind?
In the spirit of Gabe Kaplan, have I told you how I missed out on drinking from the Claret Jug?
Okay, what do you got?
2017, my buddy, country artist, Wade Bowen, he lives 20 minutes away. He texted me and he said, hey, we're going to Dallas. Jump on the tour bus. Let's just hang out for the weekend.
Okay.
And I got lazy. And I said, no, man, that sounds like a lot of work. The next night or the next morning, Saturday morning, 3 a.m., I get sent a video of him, Jordan Spieth, and the Claret Jug on the tour bus drinking vodka.
Don't play.
No.
And I missed it. And I texted back, I hate you, naturally.
Of course. That's a reasonable response, Jimmy. Reasonable.
I dropped the ball, coach. I'm sorry.
Oh, my God.
Get your damn act together.
Okay, very good.
That would upset me a little bit.
Oh, boy. I enjoyed that chat with Brian Harmon in hour one, getting to meet him.
He was funny.
He's a star. He is a star, and of course, Southerners are going to love him because of his accent. He just lays it all out there. But Harmon is now the everyman's golfing fan.
I agree. I agree.
I'm a fan.
Thanks for the call, Jimmy.
Hey, Jimmy.
Oh, you want to say, no, what are you
doing? Jimmy, when you get a call at some point that you have a chance to go have a baguette or a beignet with one benyama, please.
Yeah, you got to let us know.
Oh,
he's already
Jimmy,
dropped.
Don't pass that up, Jimmy.
He just telescoed you.
He telescoed. Don't pass that up, Jimmy. He's listening.
Okay. Sonny Dykes of TCU football finally got over it. Enough time has passed.
Okay.
Enough time has passed. And then Jim Gaffigan.
That's going to be funny.
And then, guess what? A Bill Belichick press conference moment.
And your top five.
I don't know if we're going to get to that. We'll see.
Did you change your mind?
No, that's Telesco right there. Very good.
You change your mind about something?
Cowboys 9-8. When are you going to do your? When are you going to do the schedule?
I love that. I was wondering when that was going to get put in there. I don't know. You tell me.
Cowboys 9-8.
I might have to take a trip to Oxnard first, kind of assess the squad.
You should go there.
You know,
kind of see what
they look like in person.
Take a ride up there.
That's disrespectful, Rich. You know they're not going to be 9-8.
Dude. That's a mediocre football team. That's a 500 football team.
Micah Parsons ain't mediocre, man. Ain't gonna let that happen.
Neither is Tank. Neither is Dak. Tank. Neither is CD. Neither is Pollard.
You know. Well, neither is Coach Mike McCarthy.
Could say that again.
Yeah.
Or not.
I mean.
How wrestling really works and how you get the ratings. Eric Bischoff and Conrad Thompson explain on 83 Weeks.
Collision has been struggling a little bit out of the gate with these ticket sales.
This was a major show announced on a major network with what everybody thought was this huge star, CM Punk. I said he was going to be the biggest financial flop in wrestling history, and I think I'm being proven right every minute of the day.
83 Weeks on YouTube or wherever you listen.